Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com, where you can find a link to the Patriot Journalist Network as well. And while you're at the show's website, check out the Give page. There's some wonderful organizations on there, namely, at least recently, we have had Angel Heart Farm on, and also we've had Cancer Free Kids. And if you were to go to your cell phone and just type in as the number, 80100, and in the text portion of it, in the body of it, just put Lion, L-I-O-N. You can send for only $10 a stuffed lion to a child who was recently diagnosed with cancer. It's a wonderful program, and please participate. And there may be some charges associated with it, you know, data charges, things of that nature, as per your phone company. But just follow the prompts and go from there. And also, you'll find links to those pages as well. And also, we will also have the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust on there as well, so check that out too. Now, tonight, Bard's Logic will be commemorating 9/11. It's already been, 12 years, a little over a decade since that day. And so, of course, our hearts and minds go out to the folks there. So what I'd like to do at this time is just spend about 30 seconds in silence so that we can remember those who have fallen on this day, those 12 years ago. Okay, folks, thank you very much for giving us that moment of silence for them. Now, Bard's Logic tonight, we'll have on panelists, political activist Cindy Todd, author Kelly Mordecai, and Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment founder, James Naber, who will be calling in live from a Benghazi vigil in Oklahoma City, and where to discuss post-9/11 America under Obama's reign. And now with continuing conflicts with Afghanistan, Iran, and Syria, scandals surrounding President Obama and his administration. Somebody asked, was 9/11 the beginning of the end of democracy? Other questions we will ask and discuss is the debates and the pending strike against Syria a wag the dog scheme of Obama's to distract us from the fight against the upcoming funding of Obamacare? And will Russia again emerge as the lone superpower of the world, or at least increase its limits on the world stage? And what of the UN and peacekeeping forces? Why has the international community not brought them in on the chemical attacks? So, of course, join the panel in the discussion. Join and be heard. And, of course, to say Bard's Logic is the grassroots We the People show. And I do see on the line the author of The Hidden Fourth Branch and one of our panelists tonight, and that is Kelly. I'm going to open up your mic. Thank you very much, Kelly. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Robert.
Great.
Glad to
great.
Be back on.
Yeah, definitely is. You sound the line sounds much better than previously, so let's hope we have a good night tonight.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's see. I'd like to say, calling from FEMA Region 9, but hopefully someday the state of Jefferson, our voter supervisors last week voted to become their own state. So that's pretty exciting. Well, Jerry Brown is like, no way, no how. I ain't going to let Siskiyou County leave California. People in California... in Siskiyou County, if they don't like the laws of the state of California, they can pack their bags and leave and go to another state. Well, a local here said, you know what? He's right. We'll pack our bags, we'll leave, and we'll take the county with us.
There you go. And then have one of the next states, the state of Jefferson. And according to Obama, that'd be, what, the 58th, 59th state?
58th, I think. Yeah. 58th. Puerto Rico, maybe.
Yeah,
Puerto Rico approved. Yeah, so we'd be the 59th.
Got it. Well, I'd definitely like to check that out. I know there's talk about them as well. Well, we do have 405 there, which I believe is Mr. James Naber calling in. Thank you very much, James. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm actually on the road right now to our 9/11 candlelight vigil, and I'll be getting there in just a few minutes. They postponed it till 9:30, and we'll be going there till 11 o'clock Central. And I let the host know, my admin Karen here in Oklahoma, that we'll be, we'll pass the phone around to anybody that wants to talk, and I'll, of course, let you know when we're ready to do that.
Sounds great.
You know, that way, some of the people can kind of, express their thoughts on 9/11, if you guys are good with that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely. That'd be phenomenal. Yeah, you're heading out there, and it'll be great. And actually, the timing would be perfect, too, because, it goes to 11 o'clock Central, which, of course, is midnight Eastern here, so we will have them for the large portion, or at least the opportunity for a large portion of the live show. And of course, there could be the extended version, as there has been many times in the past. So we're really looking forward to that. So we're just waiting for one more of the panelists to come on. So I know one of the things we talked about, and Kelly brought it up, and he just mentioned about the 59th state of Jefferson coming on. I think that'd be pretty interesting. But we were, going to talk about, 9/11 and, how this country has gotten to the point where it is under the reign of Obama. And, which I find ironic, because wasn't, pretty early on in his, being president, wasn't he given the Nobel Peace Prize? I mean, I thought he was going to be the one to bring peace into the world.
Yeah, well, I think he means that by it'll be peaceful as soon as he gets done droning all of his enemies.
Got it. I just find it ironic is what he said about Bush, and even to the point, I think he even made comments about Bush being impeached for some of the actions that he did when coming to his strikes that he's done.
Well, one thing that you can guarantee about President Obama is if he says something, the opposite is almost certainly to be the truth. For example, the gas in Syria, they're saying now that it appears that it was actually launched from within rebel-controlled territory, but yet he was dead certain. Of course, that's what he's saying anyway, because it suits his agenda, that it was Assad that did it. And, well, what do you know? Now new evidence is coming out that it appears that it was actually the rebels that did it in an attempt to set up Assad.
Kelly?
Gee, in the history of the world, that's never happened before.
No.
Yeah, I talked to my mother tonight. She's a great, incredible woman, Midwestern, common sense, natural. And I says, hey, are you glad we're not going to war with Syria? And she goes, Putin. I said, Putin? Yeah, the Russian president. Well, she said, he's just making a fool out of Obama. And I said, you know what? Obama doesn't need any help making a fool out of himself. She just laughed a little bit. But, I want to go into a bigger picture, really, regarding, wars and false flag wars are a great way to cover up all sorts of corruption.
Definitely want to get on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just like a magician. Over here in my right hand, sneak, little trick on the left. So great wars are really great. But if we look at all the potential problems Obubu is trying to cover up, what do we got? We got Fast and Furious, we got the IRS boondoggle, we got the drone strikes of Americans in Yemen, we've got Fox News had a whole bunch of them listed. It's unbelievable what he has done. Benghazi, of course, the Benghazi mess. There was like 30... Over 30 survivors that finally made it back. They were kind of detained at, was it Ramstein or Rhein-Main Air Force Base in Germany for quite a while, and they finally made it over here. And there's a congressman Why would it take so long for these people who are at Benghazi, the survivors, to get over here? On Fox News today, they talked, a gentleman's name was, I'm pulling his name up here, a congressman from Virginia, just had his name, oh, here we go, Frank Wolf from Virginia. He wants to form a select committee to investigate and find out what these 37 people, the survivors, what they know, because they have been told by the Department of Justice, wait a minute, this is a foreign matter, Department of Justice, Interior, FBI, Interior, CIA, Exterior, anyway, so they have been told that they've had to sign a confidentiality agreement about what happened in Benghazi, and Frank Wolf wants to get a select committee, congressional committee, and get on this and find out what the heck's going on. I mean, is the Obama administration and Eric Holder, is he basically trying to cover up something? I mean, you know, you got to sign this confidentiality agreement. So these people that have had to sign this are going to their attorneys. Like, am I bound by this? What the heck?
That's House Res 36. He's actually been trying to get that passed for the better part of a year now. And there's one person in the entire planet, on the entire planet, that's stopping that, and that would be John Boehner. Imagine that. Obama's right-hand man.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, this isn't, what you were talking about, you know, the confidentiality agreements and Eric Holder.
No,
this isn't the first time. This isn't the first time that Boehner has done something like that. When both times that Obama was elected, there were lawsuits filed for a recount. And even though, you know, Bush Sr. had a recount and was just fine with that, and Al hanging Chad Gore, still lost. But yet, for some odd reason, the Attorney General claims that the lawsuits for recount against Obama, you know, Eric Holder, says that the lawsuits are without merit. Well, I would be thinking the judge would be the one to determine that, but they never even got to a judge because of our Attorney General. So, right back to what you said, what's he trying to hide?
Oh, well, he didn't hide very well in Cuyahoga County, Ohio, which I believe is north of Robert there. Was 100 precincts where Romney got less than 1%. It was like 10 or 12 where he got 0 votes, like 15 or 20 where he got 1 to 2 votes, and the rest, it was ridiculous, less than 1%. Oh, but it's a lot of black community. It's like, really, come on.
Yeah, statistically impossible is impossible. Impossible. We're more likely to have a black hole open up in the center of the Pacific Ocean than we are to have 0 votes for a president in a particular area.
So, I mean, that's another cover-up. How many more cover-ups? But, hey, I mean, this is my big picture on Syria. And, of course, we get into what the world is like after 9/11 and Obama. Oh, that's right. This is what the world is like. The president doing everything he can to get cover-ups, cover-up. Oh, my gosh. I could be impeached. So war is a great distraction. And, you know, he does look very foolish now. Oh, we're drawing a red line. You use chemical weapons. Who? And by the way, what's your plan? What's your entry plan? What's your exit plan? You know, is it pinprick or not? It's so unclear, so goofy. But in the bigger picture, okay, let's suppose that Obama knows he's being investigated by Congress or a grand jury or whatever, like Nixon was taken out, all sorts of investigations. He would lose credibility by pulling the stunt and not going to war. He would be pulling the stunt by not going to war. Even if we don't go to war, the mind of the American public has been distracted for I don't know how many weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was, everything is even keel, everything's fine, he would have carefully, calmly, selectively chosen his next moves, like in a chess match. Oh, that's right, JFK did this with the Cuban Missile Crisis. Brilliant how he handled that. But Obama has been kind of blundering and fumbling, but in the big picture, it doesn't matter whether we go to war or not. his distraction technique is working. Now,
mm-hmm.
why would he risk his own credibility? Well, he would risk his credibility so that...
For his legacy, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Yeah, for his legacy, because if he gets impeached, his whole legacy is destroyed. His whole credibility is toast. It's disgusting. So it is a very calculated risk to lose a little bit of credibility instead of all of your credibility.
Well,
he wins either way.
Here's a question I have for him. If he was ready to go send cruise missiles after Assad over chemical weapons, if it's proven that the rebels were the ones that were actually launching the chemical weapons, will he then go on Assad's side? I mean, are we going to be consistent here? If somebody's using chemical weapons, we have to bomb them, right? At least by Obama.
But where the hell is the UN peacekeeping force? Is it something that's supposed to be? I mean, I know they have to have authorization, by the UN. But where is the international community? Isn't something that they, that they're supposed to handle? Go ahead, James.
Well, you would think so. You would think that would be the case where the international community should be the one to do it. After all, when Saddam Hussein was accused of having chemical weapons, which then, of course, ended up in Syria, it was not U.S. Inspectors. It was who? It was U.N. inspectors. I believe the head of the committee or the task force that was over there was from Germany. I mean, what a novel idea. Let's get some help from the international community. If the international community is actually as outraged as 98% of the world is, as Obama said, then, let's let 98% of the world deal with that. But instead, he chooses to look at it in a unilateral sense where he's just going to assume the mantle of the 98%.
Well, yeah. And then there's other. I mean, what would happen if we have falsely accused Syria? We hit them with cruise missiles, a bunch of other strikes. What if we falsely accused Syria, and then other nations found out it was the rebels that did this? Whoops.
And then Trog in the chat, which many know from the Coalition of Freedom page and favorite group in Facebook. Check that out. Go to Facebook if you're a Facebook user. And put in the search engine, Coalition of Freedom, and there you can hear more from Trog. But, yeah, he also puts that in the chat here on Blog Talk Radio, making comment that the UN knows that it's the rebels. What do you guys say? Kelly, go ahead.
Oh, I catch you calling on Chris. So if we possibly accuse Syria,
no,
we bomb them.
No, he was in the chat. I was just bringing on the chat, bringing that up in the chat, and then going to get comments from you two on that.
What? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to get comments on that about the him saying that the UN knows that it was the rebels who actually, and not the Assad regime, that did the chemical weapons.
Well, yeah, I mean, the implications of the world's view of us, our whole country would lose credibility if Obama struck Assad in the government right now, and you'd begin to wonder if the jihadists or whoever, the rebels, you begin to wonder, is Obama supporting the rebels? I mean, you begin to wonder that. The other claims he has is like him and Biden are saying, well, Adolf Hitler, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, well, yeah. Adolf Hitler did conquer most of Europe. I mean, it started with Poland in 1939, and then this country, that country, the Blitzkrieg. Sure, Hitler and Germany, they had enormous resources in not just tactical, not just resources, production, hard work, but German engineers are probably the best in the world. I mean, look, what their technology was insane. And Hitler basically conquered most of Europe. Syria can hardly feed themselves. So why are we, come on, folks. Why doesn't Biden step up and write a book called Ethiopian World Conquest? I mean, there's stupid justification.
That's hilarious. Go ahead.
Yeah, we would actually have to leave that up to Obama. He does have the Il Duce pose down pat after all.
Well, there definitely bears an investigation, and then because I mean it is trapping. One thing I do want to bring about that I kind of think it is getting lost in the conversation. So I'm not particularly, of course, here, but but abroad, I'm not hearing a lot about this, through the debate. Is, I mean, we do have, and I know it happens all the time, but still, not all the time, not with Karen Culpin. But what I'm saying is all these children, and all these innocent folks have been killed. And I think that, because of the politics of what's going on, and then with Russia coming in, things of that nature, I really think that that's getting out of the mind of folks, of what really happened. And so it does bear to find out who the responsible parties are, and regardless of who it is, I think there needs to be an international, because here's where I'm torn. I think there needs to be an international reaction to what happened. It may even be too late if it's wait too long, but I don't want to bring something up about waiting so long, is that, something, ought to be done so people aren't, gassing, children and things of that nature, with these chemical weapons. But it seems like the United States is the only country that actually has the guts to do something about it, so I'm kind of torn about it. Like, do I think, we should do it unilaterally? No, I don't. But I think something, it needs to be investigated, and the folks who did it, I need an international, reaction to it to get to the folks who did do it. And talk about waiting is, and this is something I do want to discuss later on, is how long we waited before we went into Iraq, all the debate. And I know some folks were believing that these chemical weapons actually came from Iraq when they were shipped there before we moved into Iraq. There's some speculation on whether that's where some of these chemical weapons came from, that they were shipped here, as was first thought, back before the war in Iraq, from there to Syria. But, we could talk about that. I don't want to digress too far into that now, but it is something I do want to address.
Here's something.
Go ahead, James.
I was going to say, here's something that kind of gave some thought to that. And the fact is, they said that was sarin gas, correct?
Yeah.
That they used. Military grade sarin gas that has not degraded over time would actually have such a toxic effect on its victims that you could not get anywhere near them for 72 hours without full chemical protection gear. But yet immediately after the attack, they had doctors there and rescue people there, tending to the ones that didn't die without any protective gear. So the one that would lead at least with some circumstantial evidence, at any rate,
mm-hmm.
to the notion that the sarin gas they used, was stale. It was old. It was out of date. And that
mm-hmm.
would lead a little bit of credence to the fact that that actually was some of the old stores that Saddam Hussein had.
Yeah. I got a question for you.
With the sarin gas degradation thing, okay, I've had organic chemistry. I think that's all BS, but if it degrades somehow, that's right, bacteria would get in there and degrade. No, bacteria can't survive. Let's see here. How would that work? I know how sarin gas would degrade. The FDA did a review and they put an expiration date on it. I mean, come on, folks. You expect us to believe this? I mean, unbelievable. I'm sure some expert's going to come out with what you told me. When I was in, I had a biochemist. He had a PhD in biochemistry, and he was telling me, this was years ago, there is a certain nerve agent that only takes 1,000 molecules to kill somebody. Are you serious? 1,000 molecules? He said, yeah. I said, that's less than a drop of water. He says, I know. So these guys are hit with this gas really hard, and if sarin has the same potential as this other nerve agent he was mentioning, and so these people are coming in, they're going to have it on their clothes,
these doctors are going to touch it and they're going to be dead. So I'm beginning to believe what Jim is explaining about if it was sarin gas, doctors couldn't be in there. Some expert's going to come out and say, this is all bunk. This is all, you know, will come out.
Well,
you know, so even speaking of English, you know, our one of our favorite guys, Pierce Morgan, yes, he I couldn't believe it. He was hammering. There was a deputy, I think the Secretary of State, and there was Joe Biden, and he was grilling him. I says, what evidence do you have that they did it? What evidence? You know, they couldn't answer the question. What evidence do you have that it was the present government of Syria that they did it? Well, they couldn't answer. I mean, I was impressed with Pierce Morgan that he actually was hammering these people.
Well, that's my point. I mean, something. Well, I mean, obviously, you've seen the carnage. Unless people want to say that was made up, but of course, that could very well fall into the wag the dog scheme, you know, as well. I mean, for those who are familiar with the movie, I mean, they did fake a war in order to hide some scandals. So, I mean, I guess that's something that's not, you know, of course, outside the realm of possibility. So, and of course, one thing I do want to get to again. Tonight also is, you know, talk about how this, I think Obama trying to steer the attention to Syria away from, of course, the upcoming Obamacare, you know, votes and about defunding Obamacare.
Well, I mean, the fact is he's done everything he can. And, you know, this is just a pattern that he's been very consistent at. He'll come up with anything and everything he can in an attempt to distract the American people. And, you know, he actually gets bigger and bigger with the level of distraction that he's willing to go to. Alex Jones reported that a nuclear weapon had actually been moved from Texas and was supposedly headed to somewhere in South Carolina. And then a few days later, Lindsey Graham starts going on about how Charlotte is about to be nuked if we don't go to war. And you know, just, I mean, the levels that they will stoop to are really just astonishing. It very much is everything, you know, wag the dog, because every opportunity he does, he comes up with a new scandal to distract from everything. I mean, even the IRS scandal.
Yeah, why now? Tom makes a good point. Why now? I mean, this war in Syria has been going. I mean, of course, you know, with the chemical weapon attack and people seeing the kids getting, killed. But the Syrian war has been going on for 2 years now.
Well, I mean, just like the IRS scandal was a year old when it came out to distract from the, from the Benghazi hearings that were getting stronger.
Yeah.
And it was actually looking like it might move toward a select committee. But then, just as soon as it started moving that direction, bam, oh, my gosh, the IRS has been targeting conservative groups. Well, this had been known already for a year. It was just muffled by the media. Then, of course, we get into another thing. Obviously, the media's got to be complicit in the wag the dog scheme to wag the dog. If the media isn't playing along, then that will never happen. If the media does their job, if ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and so on actually do their jobs, the distraction never happens. Because people know that's exactly what it is, and, well, it fails. But unfortunately, you know, currently the mainstream media might as well be called the Ministry of Propaganda.
Good, Kelly. I'm actually typing something here, so go ahead and chat with folks here on Facebook. So, Kelly, do you want to chime in?
Sorry, I'm trying to get looking at my GPS here. We went to the wrong part.
Uh-oh.
Yep, we pulled up.
See, we're all multitasking here on Bard's Logic tonight.
Yeah.
definitely. I'll be able to keep this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Hollywood isn't so bad.
The NSA, maybe NSA had something to do with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Hollywood isn't so bad. That movie Wag the Dog. I remember one specific scene where, that movie was awesome, but basically, one scene, they said, "Well, let's make a woman with a child and make it look like a real serious victim, so we can put this out in the news." And so they start with the backdrop was, big explosions and just destruction everywhere, and this woman was dressed in some, Yugoslavian garb or whatever.
Right, she's running
and,
with a child or something.
The way they did it was CGI. They went through the entire process, and it was spooky. So you got the backdrop, and she's she's kind of running away. When they're like, "Oh, let's take two. She needs to be, like, carrying a baby." "Oh, yeah, yeah, it'd be great."
Right.
"Oh, okay, so then, where's the baby? We don't have a baby." "Well, here, get a bag of potato chips." So she grabs the bag of chips, and she goes, "All right, do it again, kind of run away like you're scared. I'll do it again, you got to be more scared and frightened." And so she did it, and they put layer upon layer, and then you saw the final product, and it looked just like a woman running away from a war zone and holding a baby. I'm like, "Oh, my gosh."
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm like, "False flag, we don't need false flag. Just use CGI and, starving actors, away you go." and this is, how many years ago was that movie? Like 10 years ago or something?
Yeah, it's another movie.
Yeah, so it's a little spooky with the media and whatever, computer enhancement. Who do we trust? I'm just glad the American people didn't want a war. Enough pressure was on.
Yeah, that's made it very evident. I mean,
yeah.
And do I think, there's a national interest for us? No, I don't. I don't think what happened in Syria can really, unless we do get involved militarily, unilaterally, I think it can, harm us. But I mean, if we don't do, I don't know, it'll harm Obama not doing anything. Than us doing something, but as to us, the American people, I just don't think that it's in our national interest. Now, if it is shown that this is real and it's definitely been a chemical attack, then I do think the world community, it's their moral obligation to do something about it.
Well, I like the Putin proposal to.
This is Rob. Jim got lost. We're still trying to find.
Well, sounds like he's getting himself ready to get to the vigil. And while we're waiting for that, we do have the third panelist on the line tonight. Thank you very much, Cindy, for calling into the show. How are you? I know she's out there because I've seen her. But anyway, while I wait for Cindy to come aboard after I open up her mic, if anyone else would like to call in speak to the – oh, okay, there you are. Real quick, Cindy, since I already started it.
I had myself muted and I didn't know it.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just about to give out the call number for those who might want to just listen in, or if they want to chime in and talk to some of the panelists here, ask some questions, or just tell us what's on your mind. You can call it 347-945-7428. Thank you very much, Cindy. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that was Kelly on there. Did I hear Kelly?
Yeah, we've got Kelly and then we've got James.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Cindy.
Well, hey, glad to hear you guys on there. Right now, you said, "How am I?" Well, right now I am fit to be tied. Not only is all this junk going on in our nation, in the Capitol and everything else, we have a 10% hike in our property taxes that we're fighting against tomorrow morning at our county council meeting, and just butting heads with even Republicans, and I'm just so sick of it. So I'm not in a good mood, but anyway.
Well,
you know,
that wouldn't put me in a good mood either, Sid.
Yeah. Well, you remember what I said to you the other day, that I think that they realized that there's some kind of a principle in that workbook they use where you inundate the people with problems all at the same time. They get overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. And then you keep deny, 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 and nothing comes out of it, and it all goes away. And that's what I'm seeing them do. I mean, they've got all these issues. The Syrian war has come, and basically that was to cover up Benghazi and the IRS and all that other junk. They've been all the false scandals or the faux scandals, whatever they want to call it. And they're just covering one scandal up with another one, and there's just like no opportunity. There's no opportunity to fight and rise up and fight each individual issue. You're sort of stuck with what they're giving you, and you're overwhelmed, and you don't know where to go. You got these wonderful guys, these bikers, went through. Didn't they do that today? The Washington, D.C. thing today?
No, yes, they did.
Did anybody see that on the news?
I didn't see it on the news, frankly, because I honestly didn't watch any news today. But I have seen an article on it.
Well, tell us a bit about it.
Go ahead, James.
Well, oh, you didn't know about it, huh? Okay, well, basically what it was a big, huge biker, a national biker group made a huge, well, they're saying one estimate was 800,000 bikers on the road headed to Washington. And it was supposed to be the 2 million bikers, you know, that went up against the 1 million Muslims in Washington, right? Well,
right.
There was a big thing about whether they were going to get a permit or not because they had applied and they weren't going to give them a permit, and I don't know. But they went. They all went. And there's these fantastic pictures going around on Facebook and stuff where you see that just this miles-long row of double-wide motorcycles going down the interstate, and the great one was, I think it was Ocala. Ocala's, or maybe it wasn't. Anyway, apparently the fire department from this one town put their ladder trucks back to back on the bridge, on the overpass, going over the interstate. I think it was 75.
Mm-hmm.
And they hung, I mean, this is 100 feet up in the air. They hang an American flag that looks like it's about 50 feet long and 30 feet wide. It's huge. And then there's a pig, somebody's down the road taking the picture, and they you can see this long line of bikers going under the underpass with these ladder trucks way up in the air and the flag hanging down off the ladder trucks over the overpass. And then there's cars parked all on the side of the road and people all on the side of the road, and the whole overpass is covered with people. And they're all like, you know, thank you guys. You're doing what I wish I could do. I wish I could get a million people together and go to Washington. Man, these bikers are so organized. If we could get as organized as the bikers are, we could put 2 million people in Washington and make this thing.
And that's what it's going to take, too. It's going to take a lot of those.
It is. It is. It's that that's the only thing they listen to is these huge numbers. You have to command media attention.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you have 500,000, 1 million, 2 million people, media just ignores you. But this is so cool that this is happening. And the fact that, I mean, I listened to Hannity on the radio today for a little while. I never heard him say a word. Now, I can't say that I listened to every minute of it, but I listened to enough of it that I thought I should have heard something. He never mentioned it that I know of. I can't swear that he never mentioned it the whole time, because I did not listen the whole time.
Well, I've lost a lot of faith in folks like, you know, not Sean Hannity as much as like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and those guys. I think Glenn Beck just wants to sell seats now, and Rush Limbaugh wants to say he's a conservative first, Republican second, but we know that's not true, but especially when it comes to elections. But I don't want to digress too far. But I've lost a lot of faith in those folks, and Sean a little bit too, not as much, but I have.
Well, I have, and I tell you, I've told you and I've told a lot of people that I was going to leave the Republican Party, and I still may. But for right now, while we're doing this 10% tax increase thing, I'm working with our local county Republican Executive Committee here, because they are actually they're a Tea Party-ish party. We kicked out a bunch of Rhino Republicans out of there 2 years ago, and now we've sort of the control of our Republican Party here in this county is more conservative. And so I've been working on them on things like this tax increase and other things we got going on here. But I really don't have any use for the national REC.
And then Boehner, and then you've got McCain, you know, and others who are they're acting more like Democrats. Like, I mean, here's a quote from McCain. Let me pull this up. Where is it at? It says McCain and McRhino. It's funny they call him McRhino. McRhino says Obama should bomb Syria without congressional approval. Here's the quote. It says Senator John McCain, Arizona, argued Wednesday that President Obama should consider bombing Syria without congressional approval because the credibility of the White House is now on the line. What about the credibility of the United States, folks? Hell with the White House. McCain said that if Obama acts before any vote in Congress, he could argue that he has acted in conformity with past administrations. He's trying to link it with President Reagan's invasion of Grenada in the 1980s. He said he notified everybody the next morning, McCain noted at the Wall Street Journal breakfast roundtable. It's just like, what is going on with the Republican Party, and especially those senior members of the Republican Party? It seems as, you know, that they've, you know, been in the in politics so long, they've, you know, melded with the Democrats.
Kelly
here.
Go ahead, Kelly, and then we'll get James input, but he might be working on what he's got there at the vigil, so go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. Well, yeah, thanks, Cindy, for letting me speak here. It's time for a Ron Paul moment. Yeah, it's time for a Ron Paul moment. Ron Paul talked about blowback. One of the reasons why these countries hate us, well, of course they hate us because we're Americans and we don't believe like the radical jihadists do, but blowback. When we go messing with other countries, they're going to want to retaliate. It's just the law of nature. And he cited CIA's findings when he discussed his blowback policy. We're messing around with countries who shouldn't be, in my opinion. And Syria, we're going to do this thing where Obama wants to create blowback and John McCain is supporting him. It's like, there are two distinguished authorizations that Obama would have. One is automatic. That's the War Powers Act, which gives the president 6 weeks to act. But obviously the intent of that was in the event that somebody invaded our shores. You know, you don't want to wait to get Congress together. You immediately give them 6 weeks to fend off the attackers. But I would believe the heart of that is within our boundaries, and possibly with our allies. So there is some type of, although the Constitution is pretty strict about only Congress can declare war, they did pass a 6-week allowance called the War Powers Act. And then basically, to go further, the Congress would just like we did in World War II, declared war immediately upon Germany. And there's a famous film of FDR signing the Act of Congress. So we have these mechanisms, if you will. But for John McCain to go out and say this kind of stuff, it's like, dude, all right, what have you been smoking? And then, John, you know, either quit taking the drugs or give me some. All right, so then Kerry, Fox News played again his 1971 speech in front of Congress where he's like, we shouldn't be at war with Vietnam. We should be staying out of other countries. And now Kerry's like, oh, we got to do it to protect the credibility. What if we get a massive blowback and a massive retaliation because of a blunder in Syria? Does that make America more secure? Have they thought of this?
Well, it's
no.
all about
well,
it.
They well, may have,
and they may
care.
Have thought about it, but they don't care. It's about Obama. Go ahead,
right.
Tony.
Well, it's true. I mean, I think they know exactly what they're doing. They're not stupid. If you and I could figure this stuff out, well, then, you know, if we can come up with scenarios and conspiracies in our head, you don't think they can? You know, they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and unfortunately they're relying on, and in some parts it's working, some ways it's working, is a sleeping public. But I wouldn't say as much a sleeping public, but it's a busy public. I mean, who has time to keep up with all, you know, with all the news and still be able to, you know, work all the hours that they're going to? And if this Obamacare thing goes through, which, you know, folks, the heck with, you know, the Syria thing, keep it in your periphery. But, you know, I think more importantly, for, you know, the American citizens is for us to stay focused and talk about and also get a hold of our representatives to get them to, you know, strike down the Obamacare, you know, not fund it. And, I mean, there's something in the works now to try to fund Obamacare through 2013. You know, of course, they're putting that there. If you don't, they're putting out the scare of, we'll shut down the government. Well, hell, let them shut it down. But, you know, talk about shutting down the government, you know, scare. So they're already trying to find, this is Boehner, you know, trying to find backdoor ways in order to fund Obamacare. Gosh, I can't stand that guy. Sorry, I digress.
Well, yeah, that little Boehner. Article about the trick where he's going to send two bills. He's going to send two bills over to the Senate, one that defunds and one that funds. Okay, and then the Senate is going to ditch the one that they don't want, and pass the one they do. And you know which one that'll be.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I think I got the article here. It's from Breitbart. And, it says, House GOP leader plan procedural trick to avoid Obamacare funding fight. I mean, come on, dude. Get some. I mean, your name's Boehner. You think it would have some? Never mind. You guys know where I was going with that.
Yeah.
But but seriously, I mean, what the hell are you? You know, what the hell are you trying to do? I mean, man, it just really ticks me off. You know, I mean, I thought we were. You know, they put it out as if they're the quote unquote opposition party, when we know that they're not. They just try to bitch, moan, and scream to make it appear as if, you know, they're against it, but then they go and pull stuff like that.
I've read two books in the last couple of years. One was called Black Education in the South, something. It was during the Reconstruction era. And thereafter. And the one I'm reading now is Many Thousands Gone, The First Two Centuries of Slavery in America, in North America. These two books, wow. When you read these things, it's like the playbook for what they're doing to us now, only we're not African Creoles, we're Americans. And they're doing it to us. And basically what our nation has been, apparently, since we started, was a nation that was ruled by, it was a nation of the rich people, for the rich people, and by the rich people.
And it's getting back to that.
Yeah, we did have some good years in between there, where, you know, they allowed us to accumulate wealth. We were allowed to amass wealth. And the same thing happened. You hear that?
Oh, that must be from James. James, you there?
Yes, I am. I am. It
sounds like you are at your event.
Yes, I am. I was actually getting ready. Where one of the things we're doing, we've actually got a filmographer here right now, and I'm actually getting ready. We're getting ready to set up 34 candles that we're going to be lighting. We're going to be setting up around the American flag here at the park. 30 for those that died in Extortion 17, and then 4 more inside of that circle for those that died at Benghazi. We're going to divide them up and let each person here light, you know, an approximate even amount of them. It's about 15 people here right now. It is late, so, you know, that kind of affected the numbers a bit. But, you know, that's one of the things we're going to do. And I was just curious if you guys were ready to have the phone passed around. And share that with, let everybody kind of share their thoughts. All right, well, if you give me just a second, I'll let them know that they're live, and I'll pass the phone around. Hold on just a moment, and let's see who wants to go first.
All right.
Hey, guys.
We'll bring you back on that.
Here we are.
And my name is Brian. Oh, that's fine.
And I'm going to pass the phone off to Bran. He's from Tallahena, Oklahoma, and here he is.
Thank you very much, Bran, for coming on to the show. How are you?
The park of this celebration, this gathering for 911. We need to stand up for our country, for our patriots, and for the world. Tonight's very special for me. I will never forget 2001. When the bombs blew up, I will never forget the Twin Towers coming down. And we as American people, I'm here tonight because I have energy and I have medicine for the United States of America. I'm here to support the people, and I'm here to support those who died in 911. I give honor to them, and I encourage everybody to get involved. Let's stand up and take our country back. I thank you all very much.
Thank you very much for giving us your thoughts tonight. We really appreciate it.
Okay, I'm going to hand the phone off again.
So, you know, but pass the phone around, guys. I'm going to get this set up.
Hello? This is Deb?
Yes. This is Karen Waldrop.
Deb, Deb to Bart's Logic. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm really good. I'm really glad to have you joining us tonight. Go ahead and you know, tell us what's on your mind on this 12th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah, it's really a kind of a solemn occasion, you know, and it's just something that we felt like we should be doing tonight.
Yeah, and that's for, you know, a Benghazi vigil, of course. There's, you know, other things that you've talked about with the candle, things of that nature. So what do you say? Our topic here tonight is post 9/11 America under Obama's reign. So what do you think about how Obama has been handling the country in this post 9/11 world?
Well, I don't think he's handling the country well at all. I mean, we're supposed to be under the Constitution of the United States, not a communist rule, and that's how he handles it. We're under socialist rule, and the government is getting bigger and bigger, and that's just not working for some of us.
Yeah, not for a lot of us. And what about Syria? Following some of that, and we're thinking that perhaps Syria, all the attention is to move us away from the fight against Obamacare. What do you think?
Well, I just think that I don't know who's really in Syria. I mean, I don't know if Obama just is planning the whole thing as one of his distraction-type deals again, or, you know, I don't know if there's, like, chemicals, anything like that. We don't really know what's what. We just don't trust the government anyway, so. And then Obamacare, that's a socialism thing, so that's unconstitutional as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, let me see if I can find somebody else that we can talk to.
Sure. Thank you very much for giving us your thoughts tonight. You have a good evening.
Okay, and here's Cheryl.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, Cheryl. This is
yes.
Bard's Logic. Thank you very much for coming on to the show. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Great, great. So tell us, give us your thoughts tonight.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say my husband and I are both retired from the Air Force. And I really want to talk a little bit about Benghazi, and I think that it's just a travesty. And Extortion 17, it's just a travesty. It's not the same military that my husband and I were in. And I don't know what's going on. I don't understand how Obama's in office. I don't understand why people like him. I don't understand it. I don't understand the whole thing.
Well, unfortunately, if you've been with me for a little bit, I believe that the reason why Obama's in the White House yet again is that I think a lot of the blame is on the Republican Party. I really think that the RNC, they supported a candidate that couldn't possibly beat Obama and Mitt Romney, and I think that's why we're in the state that we are. I think the rhinos have taken over. I mean, you've got McCain, who of course was defeated by Obama in 2008, is now almost standing shoulder to shoulder with him. It sounds like.
Exactly, and I understand from Sarah Palin that she was forbidden. They forbade her to talk about any of the scandals behind Obama, anything about his birthing, the birther issue, the socialism, who he was brought up with, and that
mm-hmm.
Reverend Wright. You know, I mean, it's just, it's incredible to me that you know, I said to my husband,
Tony, it was just cutting out a little bit. Go ahead.
What?
The line was cutting out a little bit. It was breaking up a little bit. We didn't hear what you said. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just don't know how he...
Nope, folks, it looks like we missed it. Are you still with us, Kelly and Cindy?
Yeah, I can still hear you, but she was cutting out. I hope that's not part of the program. I hope that was her phone.
Yeah, that's actually James, and he was passing things around. So we'll see if we could get back with him on that. Maybe, I mean, they are in a park, so perhaps they just don't have the best reception, and hopefully we'll be able to bring Cheryl back on soon. So Cheryl, if you're out there and can still hear us, just go ahead and chime in. Even if we're talking, feel free to interrupt us to chime back in. So we would like to hear more from yourself and those there at the Benghazi vigil in Oklahoma. So,
hello?
Oh, there you go. Hello, yes. Welcome back, Cheryl.
Oh, you know what happened? She said I hit the mute button by holding it too much.
I've done that myself.
Where did I...
I've done that myself.
So where did I... What was I talking about? Him getting vetted and how he could even get a...
Right, about Sarah Palin, how they wanted to put a muzzle on Sarah Palin.
Absolutely. That just is incredible to me. Just incredible. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know how we're going to survive another 3 years with this man and his entourage. I just don't. I don't understand. All I can say is I'm so happy to see what happened in Colorado. The people are going to have to stand up and take it and take this country back. And
mm-hmm.
it looks like Colorado got pretty smart about it.
Yeah,
so,
I'm proud of them.
And for the folks who aren't as familiar with what's going on in Colorado, could you give us a little synopsis of what's going on over there for the people who are unaware of it?
Okay, well, what happened there is the president, I think, of their Congress or Senate or whatever they call it up there, their state Senate, was ousted today, and another Democrat was ousted who they had been behind some severe gun control actions and laws that had driven some of the manufacturers of guns and ammo out of Colorado. You know, of course, that's revenue that they just lost. But they
mm-hmm.
were just ousted today.
Recalled.
Wow.
Recalled.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
It sounds good. Well, that's actually what I think, and you said earlier, you know, what can we do to counteract Obama? So I think one of the things similar to that that we can do is I think that what we need to do for those who are, you know, voting in primaries and things of that nature for Republican candidates is give.
Hello? Hello?
Are you there, Robert?
Oh, Robert.
Robert, I lost you. Hey, Cheryl. Can
I'm
you
here.
Hear me?
I can hear you.
I'm here.
Okay. Hey,
okay.
Robert, do you mind if I address Cheryl real quick about something?
No, go ahead. No, that's why we keep the mics open, so that people can
okay.
Talk amongst each other.
Well, Cheryl, you might get a kick out of this. You just made the point that you didn't know how we were going to survive three more years of Obama. Well, I was talking to my little grandson the other day. He's 11 years old, and he's been kind of side by side with me over a lot of this political season, the Newt Gingrich campaign, because we worked in that and everything. And so he's very politically savvy for an 11-year-old. And the other day we were talking about something, and he said he had the time. He didn't have the time frame right, and he said, well, thankfully, we only have one more year of him, right? Right, Grandma? And I said, no, honey, we got three more years of him. And he just, you should have seen his shoulders droop. I mean, he was just like, oh, no, Grandma, what are we going to do? So cute.
Well, you know what? He might have it right, though, because the next 2014 election, I've already told I've watched children, excuse me, and I've told the parents that the month prior to the next election, next November, you know, in 2014, I am not going to be available. And I know I won't have to do much here in the state of Oklahoma, but if they need me to go wherever and drive people to the polls, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I traveled to three states working for Newt Gingrich, and I'll do that again if somebody comes up that I believe in.
Yeah, that's what I, you know, I got to do what I can do. That's all I can do.
Well, good for you, Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I don't know, what is Mike is coming on next. Just a minute.
Okay.
Thank you.
I do see someone also on the line. There's some folks on the line. If you do want to chime in and just push the 1 on your number dial, or if you're calling in from Skype, just send me a message either through the chat on Facebook or the chat here on Blog Talk Radio, or, you know, just hit the 1 button. Oh, I have said that. For on the number dial. And I do see 903, I see out there. We're going to get a few more folks there who are at the Benghazi Vigil. They're in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And 903, we'll get you on. Go ahead, Mike. You there?
Hey, Robert.
Yes, thank you very much for coming to the show. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Maggie Abel from Blacked Out News is here with me. And if it wasn't for her and people like you in the media that are willing to stand up and talk about the news that's really going on, then all of this would be for no good.
Yeah, we definitely need to get the word out and get just tons and tons of folks involved, like these bikers going down to D.C. were earlier. Definitely.
Right, yeah. I was just speaking with my cousin Don on the way here, and he was asking me if I had heard anything because, you know, he's been watching the news all day, and actually they ain't covering nothing as usual. And it's crazy that 800,000-plus bikers can go cruising through Washington, D.C., and that can't make the news. But then anything they want to tell us, well, yeah, they'll hype us whatever kind of stupid thing is going on and keep us filled with all this ignorant stuff instead of what's really going on. We, with the overpasses to impeach Obama, was at the Capitol, Oklahoma City Capitol, about 3 or 4 hours ago, and we had at least 30 people out there with signs. That didn't make the news either. All the important things going on around the nation won't get covered by the mainstream media, and that's why we're in the position we're in. If people knew what was really going on, then they'd know how to stand up and defend the nation against it. You there?
Right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Mike.
And, it's kind of sad how that it's came to that. I mean, I don't know how the regular news can sleep at night. I mean, I don't know. I call them the state-run, corporate-owned, pay-as-you-go, bought-and-paid-for, lamestream media because they don't do nothing except sell things, and a lot of what they're selling to us is harming people all over the world. Everybody from Monsanto with their GMOs to the fluoride they dump in the water to, I can't think of, well, like the vaccines. If the true statistics on the vaccines was to get out, I don't think as many people would even consider vaccines as what they are doing it. They try to scare us into getting them, and I don't think they do half the good they claim they do.
I'm still kind of skeptical, actually, to be honest. I'm still a little skeptical about the H1N1 vaccine, and they've already just incorporated that into the regular flu shot, which, you know, I'm not too fond of that idea.
Right. I ain't either. And if you look at the statistics over in Japan, I think it was Japan, they raised the age that they give vaccines. And if you look at the statistics from that, it's totally shocking. The life expectancy of the children up there went up while they was doing that, and then it went back down when they returned to the same age. And if you look at the how many kids over in India got polio because they started the polio vaccine over there, it's shocking.
Well, that definitely does bear some investigation. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and pass the phone out. It's been real nice talking to you, Robert.
You too, definitely, and you're welcome to, you know, call back into the show. And the way to do that is anyone there's got a pen, or they could go, and James can give you the contact information here to call into the show, but he also has my email address for the host. And James, you can share that with you, and we can get in contact and have you guys back on the show. But before we, while we're looking to bring someone back on, I do want to open up the mic here for 903. So 903, thank you very much for calling into the show. How are you?
I'm also. How are you?
I'm good.
A lot of background noise here. I'm not sure if you're hearing it.
I'm good for now. I just got through videoing. I've got that whole last segment on my Grandma Jack.
In your right hand, I can
see your face. Okay, just back there. Go ahead, 903, and your name, so I don't keep calling you 903.
My first name is Dean. Can you hear me okay?
Dean, yeah, can hear you, Dean.
Okay. One of your callers had commented
stuff,
that...
going on over at the Vigil. I apologize for that. So I don't want to really mute it because it may think the line. So go ahead, Dean.
Okay, I hope you can hear me. One of your callers asked a question a few minutes ago, rhetorically, I'm assuming, how are we going to survive 3 more years of this guy? The answer is, in my opinion, we're not. We're not going to survive him. And moving on quickly to another topic, a lot of people bring up his eligibility, and rightfully so. But I've always felt, as a retired law enforcement officer, maybe that's where it comes from, but there's two separate issues here. One question is, where was he born? And if you ask that question, you're instantly labeled as a birther and wearing some tinfoil hat or something. That's a legitimate question. And it's an honest question. But there's a second issue, and they're separate from one another. They're related, but they're separate. The second question is, why is his birth certificate fraudulent? And that's the one that I think people need to focus on. Stop asking where he was born. Stop saying that he was born in Kenya, which he probably was. But let's focus on the more important and the more provable of the two. Focus on, why does Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Maricopa County in Phoenix, why is it that he has reached probable cause, which is the highest bar attainable in a court of law and criminal law, that it's fraudulent? That's the question to be asking, in my opinion. Skip the birther stuff, whether he was born here, there, or wherever, and focus on the second of the two. And as far as the mainstream media goes, the gentleman you just had on, I agree with him wholeheartedly, as I'm sure most folks on the right do. But there comes a point when we've got to just stop complaining about the mainstream media, accept them for what they are. And I agree with his question of how do they sleep at night. I don't know. But go around them, go through them, go under them, go over the top of them, whatever it takes. And I think we've been doing that since 2008 or thereabouts. Because when you look at their ratings, they're falling like a rock, basically. And as time goes on, more and more people are beginning to see the light. I just fear that we're running out of time, basically. And I think we're going to run out of time before the majority of people pull their head out of the sand, whether it be there, by design in the sand or out of ignorance. I just fear we don't have that much time left. And those are just comments I wanted to make.
Well, I think it's a lot of it's apathy and also feeling like they really can't make a difference. I think that and there's been a lot of folks out there who've really worked hard and they don't see the fruits of their labor, and I think they're like, well, you know what, I'm just going to concentrate on my own.
Absolutely.
And I'm just going to do what I can the best for my family, and that's all I'm going to do. I mean, that's all I can do. A lot of folks are, in that state where they feel all they can do is just take care of their own and the best that they can, because they fought the fight and haven't seen a lot from it.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly. I forget if it was Stalin or Brezhnev who said, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes, or words to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And in this last election that we had, there were instances, and I'm thinking that there were more than one, I think there were several, in which you had precincts where 110 or 105% of the population had voted, and which naturally is mathematically impossible. And to add insult to injury, not one person voted for Romney, which, although not mathematically impossible, is highly unlikely.
Yeah.
And these are things that were never looked into, never investigated, swept under the rug. So there's a part of me that says, you know what, Romney may very well have won, if the truth were to be known. But I think they have it down, when I say they, I'm talking about the left, I think they have it down to such a science, although faulty in some regards, and they make mistakes frequently, that people don't pay attention to the mistakes. They're going to continue with what they're doing as long as they go, remain unchecked, so to speak, or unchallenged. So it may very well be that it's mapped out in 2016 that Hillary Clinton is going to be our next president. It doesn't matter who runs against her. And those are things that 10 years ago, if you and I were having this discussion, we'd probably both think each other was crazy. But look at how far we've come in 10 years or 8 years,
Yeah. you know, far, you know, how far back, you know, in some, you know, some perspective we'd say. You know, what I'd like to see us go back to just hand counting. I don't care about hanging chads. Let's say the hell with the machines, go back to hand counting.
That would make too much sense.
Yeah, we can't have a government that makes sense. So we'll keep your eye, of course, open, Dane, as we do to all the mics once folks call in, because, you know, we try to bring around. But I do hear some other folks there on Jameson that may want to come back in. James, got any more folks who want to chime in?
Robert, were you waiting on me? This is James.
Yes, James, I was waiting on you to see if you had any other folks. I know you were getting some other things together, so I brought another caller in. So I was opening it up to see if there's anyone else you have who wants to come on.
Okay, well, we've pretty much had everybody do the rounds here that wants to. We've got quite a few little people here, but those you know, those that want to speak have. What I would like to do is we've got actually kind of a lot of things going on here right now, and we've got a number of things we want to do, and I just wanted to, you know, just kind of continue here for a few more minutes, and then if it's all right with you, I'd like to go ahead and just move on, you know, get off for the night, and then go ahead and move on with what we're doing here. We've got, right now we've got 34 candles set up around the American flag here at the park, 30 for those that died in Extortion 17 and still haven't seen any justice, and then of course the four more in the north, south, east, west, you know, in the cardinal directions for the four that died in Benghazi. We're actually going to have a little candle lighting ceremony here, you know, for those that, you know, for those that are lost and still haven't seen justice in this world. And, you know, it's a shame that we have a president that does not understand the value for that in this country. You know, here in America, we honor our dead. We especially honor our dead that gave their lives in the service of our country. And we don't let them go, you know, in circumstances like with Extortion 17 and in Benghazi, where it was situations that are dubious at best, that are shady. It's inconceivable that this has yet been investigated. And you know, our whole point of doing this is to, well, give some homage to those that died under such shadowy and dubious circumstances, and to, you know, give some peace to them for, you know, for dying, you know, for our country, and, you know, to honor them in that way. And so, you know, we're going to be moving on for that, and, you know, to do that here, and we've got some things that we want to say amongst ourselves. So, you know, but really everybody here that's listening to this right now, I would ask that, you know, sometime tonight before midnight, because the attack on Benghazi occurred, it began at midnight 1 year ago today, and I would ask everybody, you know, to step outside, and, you know, if you pray, you know, say a prayer for them. If you don't pray, you know, have some, you know, have, you know, think about them, ponder them, you know, whatever you do, but you know, give them some honor, give them the respect that our president apparently is incapable of doing. You know, if the president of the United States doesn't have the moral capacity to do so, the American people do, and we should. On this anniversary, you know, of both 2001 and 2012, it's time, you know, for the American people to, you know, to remember those that died on those days, and you know, to let those that died in Benghazi, you know, and, you know, to pass from this world, to at least know that they were appreciated by the American people, and were saddened by the circumstances of their loss. And then also, of course, those in Extortion 17, you know, the fact is that their justice has not been done for them, and it needs to be. And you know, everybody in America needs to step out and do something like this. And anybody that's listening, I would just, if you would do so in your own way, you know, step outside and just think about them for a minute, if that's all you want to do. If you have a candle, take a candle outside with you. And if your neighbors ask what you're doing, you know, then explain to them, talk to them about that. When you go to work tomorrow, everybody talk about it. You know, what exactly is Extortion 17? Well, it's where 30 servicemen 24 of which were Navy SEALs, and most of them were the last of SEAL Team 6, died for no reason other than the fact that they were sent on a mission. They were sent on a mission in a 1960s era Chinook helicopter that had none of the air defense systems that was in a modern helicopter. None of their artillery support was sent in. It was a hit. It was nothing more than an assassination of the people that could actually tell what happened to Osama bin Laden. That it was nothing more than that and nothing less than that. And it needs to be investigated, but we need to honor them for their sacrifice. The fact is, I'm quite certain when they got in a helicopter, they all knew exactly what was happening. They knew they were doomed because they knew that they were on equipment that was 50 years old, that should have never been in the air to begin with. But they went anyway because why? Well, because they're American. They were America's best. They were, you know, they have bravery and valor that most of us could never even fathom. And they did their job anyway, knowing that they were almost certainly going off to their deaths, and they knew why they were going off to their deaths, and we should honor them for that, because how many of us could actually do that? The least we can do is spend a moment giving them a moment of silence and prayer, if that's what you do, and, you know, show them the honor that they deserve. You know, and with that, you know, I'd like to go ahead and close with you guys for the night. And, you know, go ahead and move on with our vigil. And if it's good with you, I'll be back again next week. And
sounds
I can schedule
good.
Things around it.
I appreciate it. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for bringing in the folks there at the vigil. We really appreciate the participation. And definitely, if you would, James, just give them the call-in number and the email address for they can call in to other shows. I'd really appreciate hearing from them again. So thank you very much, James. And you have a great night tonight.
Glad to hear from you, James.
Always glad to be here. Always glad to be here. And but yes, I'll have them all. I'll pass all that information on to them. And you know, we'll carry on after tonight.
All right. Thank you very much, and take care.
All right. You too. Thank you. Thank you again for having me. And you guys have a good show.
You too.
Thanks,
you have a good vigil. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And we definitely wish them well, folks. If they have a very good vigil there tonight over in Oklahoma City. And definitely we want to look more into what he's talking about with those Navy SEALs and what happened with them. And that's just one of the many fights, unfortunately, we have to have.
The screw got loose.
So thank you very much. Okay, well, I'm going to bring the mics back, and the way we'll do this is first we'll go to give deference to the lady first. We'll go ahead and go to Cindy, and then we'll go back to you, Kelly, and then and then Dean, you'll be after Kelly. And then anyone else who wants to chime in tonight or just listen in on the line, you can do so at 347-945-7428. Just hit the one on their phone dial to chime in, or just send me a message here on Blog Talk Radio or through Facebook. So, Cindy, we've heard a lot. So, what do you think? You know, about what we just heard here.
Well, we need about 5,000. Groups like that all over the country meeting on a night like this, and I think that's kind of what the function is of the overpasses for Obama's impeachment. I think that is a really good I don't know what you want to call it, but it ought to get us some media attention. And if it doesn't get us media attention, at least gets the attention of every driver that drives underneath of that overpass. And that's the thing. If the media is not going to give us the outlet for our news, the outlet to get the truth out of there, then we're going to have to take matters into our own hands. I mean, I'm just looking at my own county. In this last month, there were over seven. There was more than seven rallies, sign wavings, all kinds of just gatherings where people were protesting. We protested in front of county council two times this month. We've had two overpass for Obamas here in this county. There was a 9/11
impeachment, right?
Yes.
Overpasses for Obama's impeachment. Yeah, add that because it's not for Obama yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. For Obama's impeachment. Excuse me.
That's okay.
Oh, ow, boy, that was really bad, wasn't it?
No,
thank
that's
you for correcting
okay.
that.
Not
I
a
really
problem.
Appreciate it.
I'm sure the folks knew, but I just want to, you know, clarify.
And then we had a Benghazi one today, plus the Obama impeachment thing. So, I mean, just in our county, we're doing all of that, and that's what every county needs to do. Is they're going to have to get out and get the information out to their county in a different fashion other than the media. Now, we can use alternate media like good old blog talk, because I don't know what you want to call it, good old, but anyway, blog talk. and there's, you know, you got Alex Jones on the internet, and you got all these people on the internet, and that's good, but there's still a huge percentage of our population that can't go there. And so they don't know any other way to find out the information. And so we've got to get ourselves out there and make ourselves known. And these guys are doing that tonight, and I commend them. I really appreciate people like that doing what they're doing. Now,
yeah, definitely.
Can I go back to what I was,
go ahead.
Can I go back to doing to what I was saying before about the slaves?
Well, yeah. Well, first let's get some comments from Kelly and Dean about you know, what we heard from James and the folks he had over there at the vigil in Oklahoma. And then, yeah, we'll definitely go there. We do have about 28 minutes of live time, but of folks here who have listened to the show also know that many times, probably more so than not, we go into extended version. Although it's not live, it is still going to be part of the archive for people to listen to at a later time. So at this time, I'd like to open up the mic there to Kelly, and then we'll move over to you, Dean. And so, Kelly, tell us your thoughts.
Well, I think that's real sweet what James is doing. And, you know, to remember, hearing on the radio today, it was a Christian radio station, they were talking about how the firefighters really responded. A lot of heroes that day were made. I was coming through Reading. I was on a project down south, and coming through Reading, and there's just south there's this field, and this they're teenagers, girls, and there's of course probably their dad. They were on horses up next to the fence by the freeway. They had this just gorgeous flag. It was just beautiful to see. And you know, I honked and waved, and that was really cool. So James sounds like a sweetheart kind of guy. I've been a little silent because we'll have to go into this into the break or after the unofficial time, but I came across this form. I can't believe it. I found a form on the Office of Management and Budget. They're the ones who do all the forms for the federal government. And it says the Presidential War Form. Oh, my gosh. It's like, this is unbelievable. It's, you know, category is whom. You check the boxes that apply. Cause of war, a bunch of boxes to check. There's actions to take. There's authorization to do so, to go to war, attack date, how to sell to the American people. I can't believe it. Just check the boxes. Oh, my gosh, I'll have to go into this into overtime. But this is, I'm like, wow, where's this form going? It's like, I guess going to war is really easy these days. So when we go into overtime, I'll go through this war form.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like something I'd like to see there, Kelly. So you got my email address. Send it to me. So we'll move it over to Dean and then back to Cindy. And, you know, we'll continue on with what she was, where she left off. So go ahead, Dean.
Yes, sir. Just a comment. I'm not sure if it was today or yesterday that evidently John Kerry has made the statement that he will no longer allow or not, no longer, it sounds like he was allowing it, and now he's not allowing it, but he will not allow the Benghazi survivors to testify before Congress, which I'm getting a little old, you know, so, but feed me peanuts and call me Dumbo. I thought for sure that he had said that before, several months ago, during another one of his appearances before Congress, they touched on the Benghazi issue, and he kind of fluffed it off and said, yeah, we'll cooperate, we'll do whatever you want, now let's move on to something more important, or that's old news, or something along those lines. But he did agree that he would cooperate, and so on and so forth, or that they would cooperate. And now he's saying just the opposite, which shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't surprise me. It shocks me, but it doesn't surprise me. That's the position he's taken. And it just, I guess, amazes me that on some level, at least, that they're allowed to get away with all of this stuff. I mean, the list is just growing exponentially almost by the week of the things that this regime, as Rush likes to call it, is getting away with. And it's almost like the kid that crosses the line, if I can use that term, after Obama used it. Oh, no, he didn't use it. He said he didn't. He never used that term.
right.
Forgive me. Again, he must be right because he's, you know, Obama. And the kid doesn't get scolded. So he takes another step and doesn't get scolded. So, I mean, he just keeps taking steps and doing whatever it is that he wants to do, he or she, and is never reprimanded. So I put the blame on all of Congress. I mean, I'm calling you from Texas, and my own congressman, I'm sure he's a great guy, but he's got the, you know, the backbone of a snail, basically. And I've sent him emails way back when, back in 2009, I'm assuming it was, asking, you know, I'm on his email list, so he would send me periodically emails, you know, give me your opinion on this, or what is it that bothers you about that, or whatever. And I sent him a fairly poignant email back saying, hey, well, you know, what's going on with his birth certificate? You know, why is that being looked into? And I received an email, typical, you know, of politician fashion, I'm sure, back, that covered everything pretty much under the sun with the exception of what I was discussing. And he dodged every question, never answered it. And, in fact, if you just read his email, you would have literally no clue as to what the question was that I asked because he never addressed it. So I tend to be, you know, if I latch on to something, I tend to not let go. And that can both be good and bad as a personality trait. So I didn't let go, and I sent him back another email and said, okay, that's all fine and well. You know, the moon's in Aquarius or whatever it was that he was talking about. And I said, but let's address the issue here. This was my question. Why aren't you, Congressman? I'm not talking about the others, the Senate this and, you know, whoever that. Why aren't you doing something about this? And I got another email back, and it was, I don't know, several days later, it may have been a week later. And he did the same thing. And he started off the email with, OSHA still had it, but words to the effect of, you raise very important questions. Yeah, I kind of thought so, but then again, he went right on down the primrose path of not addressing it, and ended up with you know, but rest assured that, you know, in the 5th congressional district in Texas, or you can look up who it is if you choose to do so. I'm, you know, fighting for the rights of Texans and yada yada yada, and I'm thinking, for crying out loud, if you can't stand up and state the obvious that there's an elephant in the butter, how are you going to fight for my rights? I mean, this is something that you know, is basic. So I know I'm rambling, forgive me, but it's irritating.
Okay.
It's irritating, and I've been around the block more than a couple of times. You can probably tell by I'm a little older than most, I guess, but I've been in the military, I've been in law enforcement for years, I've seen some things in the military that without going into a bunch of detail, that are eyebrow-raising, or were at the time, still are. And so on some level, I guess it doesn't surprise me that this stuff is going on in our government. I'm not referring specifically to the military, but things that get brushed under the rug that really never should have been. And I think we're on a train wreck. I really do. You watch or listen to gentlemen and women, too, I'm sure, out there who have PhDs And I'm not talking Timothy Geithner. Every time I see him, I always picture a little beanie on his head with a propeller on top. I'm not sure why that is, but the genuine PhDs, economists that say, I mean, I'll never forget one of them. I couldn't tell you his name if I had to, but he said the likelihood of this economy going off the tracks is identical to you holding a rock out to your side in your arm, in your hand, and dropping it, and that rock hitting the ground. What's the likelihood of that happening? Well, obviously, it's 100% because of this thing called gravity. He said that's the exact equivalent as to the likelihood that this economy is going off the tracks, and sooner rather than later. That's always nice to hear sitting around the dinner table, you know,
yeah,
with your kids, trying to explain to them what's going on. So it's scary on many levels, and all we can do is, in a lot of respects, that back in the 70s, they used to have a T-shirt, and some of you may remember it, or you may just think I'm crazy, or both may be true, where there was this huge, it was either a hawk or an eagle, and he was coming in hard and fast, wings spread and talons jutted forward, the claws sticking out, and he was about to devour this or grab this mouse. And this little mouse stood there with a long, little, scraggly tail, and he looked like the born loser, basically. But he had his hand up in the air, and he was given the eagle or the hawk the finger. And on the shirt, it said, "Last great act of defiance." And in a lot of respects, that's how I feel, being on the right, trying to get people motivated and get something to happen. But, you know, we do what we can do, I guess, and I'll shut up now and let you get a word in edgewise.
Oh, no, that's okay. We've got plenty of time. You know, we've got, you know, about 18 minutes left of the live portion of the show, but, of course, we do have the extended period that we've been alluding to. So you're welcome to stay on, and we will be coming back around to sure. Dean, you know, later on. But we will bring it to Cindy, and I know you want to continue something you were talking to, and I do see some folks on the line listening in. So if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial. But, of course, if you'd just like to listen as well, that is fine and appreciated too. So, Cindy, go ahead. We'll continue on with the conversation you had earlier, so go ahead.
Well, first I just want to say I got 2 of those letters just like he did. Two people that one was Rubio, I remember for sure, and I can't remember who the other one was, but I got 2 letters just like that where I had written about a separate subject, a totally different subject, and they wrote me back answering a completely different subject. I'm thinking maybe this is the new strategy now to shut the people up. Just, you know, don't answer them.
Yeah.
Don't answer at all. Fame that, oh, we made a mistake. Sorry, you know. No, you're not going to hear my answer, but I'm not going to tell you why either. So, anyway.
Yeah, they're just dodging the question by just going off on a tangent.
Yeah.
And like, well, what the heck is that about?
Right. It's like a new strategy they've come up with, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, well, what I was talking about before was that, you know, in the beginning, this last book that I'm reading here, he's talking about how in the beginning of slavery coming to the New World, in the exploration period and in the colonial period, slaves were actually given a lot of levity. They were allowed to do almost anything that a white person was allowed to do. You know, they could sue in court. They could, their masters could give them jobs to do that led them out of the country, or out of the state, or even out of the, you know, the countryside, out into the countryside to do other things. They could go to the market for people. They could move around without even having being chaperoned or anything. You know, they could marry and all kinds of stuff, and they were allowed to start their own businesses. It became kind of a slave economy in the earlier generations. And then when the plantations started coming in full fruition, that's when they started getting clamping down and making sure that their slaves were stuck to the plantation. You could not move. They didn't let them go out. That's when they started buying the slaves by the boatloads. Instead of like the African Creoles that were coming over bit by bit, you know, 20 here, 30 there, then in the plantation days they started bringing over all this huge amount of Africans. And I'm like, basically that's kind of what they did for us. They sort of let us go for a while, and they let us amass wealth, and they let us have our own economy, but they always controlled it. I think there's always been a control in the background. And I don't know if it was Chris, and if Trog is still listening somewhere, you can answer me. So I don't know if it was Chris or if it was Rex. Somebody was talking about that the other day, that it's been this way for a long time. I mean, it's not this, the problems we're having right now are not new. And there has been waves of this going throughout our history. But basically in the background, even though they let us loose for a while, they tightened up. They let us loose, they tightened up. But basically there's always been the big movers and shakers and the power brokers with the money behind the whole thing, guiding everything, especially since 1913, was it? When was the creature from the Jekyll Island?
I believe that was 1913.
13, yeah. Anyway, they're basically behind it, especially since then, with the foreman of the Fed and everything. We haven't had a chance since then. We're at their mercy. It's like we're puppets on strings, and they're allowing us to do this and that and the other. But basically, it's kind of like where the slaves were. They owned the slaves. These landowners owned the slaves. And yet, the slaves were allowed to go out and do different things. They had rights, and they had freedoms that later on they didn't have because they closed them down, and then they gave them back. And then, you know, during the Reconstruction, you had the freedmen that were in the politics. They came into politics big time all over the South because the Republicans were in control. They allowed the black people to have power in the government, but then after Reconstruction, bang, went right back the other way. Democrats took control of the South, politics in the South, and there was no more black people but they didn't have the same numbers and the same power until later on. And then they gave it back to them, and it's like they go back and forth. They give power, they take it away. They give power, they take it away. They give money, they take it away, and We're all like clueless. Most people are clueless. Now, you know, Robert, I've told you this before. I didn't do anything in politics other than vote. Well, I can't say that. I have held signs for local candidates and stuff like that. Nothing big. Done a little bit of phone calling. This was the first election. This 2012 election was the first election that I really dove in 100%. I mean, I had a full-time job, just like you did. I had a full-time job doing nothing but politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't getting paid for it. I wish I was getting paid for it, but I wasn't. But basically, the things I learned because I dove in and went full-time with it opened my eyes, woke me up, but it also
and then you realize ignorance really is bliss. No,
well,
I'm just kidding.
Well, it made me think, wow, this is overwhelming. I don't even know where to go next. We're so far in the hole. We are so far gone that I'm starting to feel like there is no way out. There's no digging our way out. I'm like,
there certainly will not be unless, you know, the American people en masse, I mean, just massive amounts of the American people, regardless of your party affiliation, and even ideological stance, come together and realize, not being Democrat, not being Republican, not being conservative or liberal, but we're all grassroots. We're we the people, and I've said this many times on other shows where, we the people, the grassroots, regardless of party or ideology, is it's become, at least in my mind, almost an us against them, where it's the people kind of against the politicians, and where the politicians have become the new oligarchy in the country with the president, and look at all the things that Obama's done is kind of like the new monarch, the new king, with just with their dictates, and then just taking all the treasures and hoarding a lot of it for themselves. I mean, look at all the trips that Obama's done and how much he spent on the trips for him and his family. And then, of course, if you've got the monarch and then you have the oligarchs there underneath him, well, where does that leave the American people? Well, that leaves the American people as the serfs serving the politicians, in which the way it was supposed to be set up, in which the politicians were supposed to serve the people. But I'm, really believing that it's actually not the case anymore with them representing us. It's just us doing their bidding. And I think they've found a lot of ways to divide we the people up in order to, keep them in power. I mean, just look at how close, at least at this time, and how close the Republican and the Democrat Party really are. I mean, they do say they're different, but we know the old adage, actions speak louder than words, and I frankly don't see it. I just don't see much of the difference between the two at this point, which is the same. I mean, I was always a very staunch Republican, probably since I was 18 years old, probably even younger than that. But I wouldn't consider myself among these ranks at this time. I mean, I'm not saying they're all bad. I mean, as I said earlier, you got to oust the, the rhinos in there and try to get some conservatives in. So I think, once you can get that, get that together, then I think we may have a shot. But as long as we, people are too busy watching reality shows instead of listening both live and of course, this is not counting the people who are listening to the shows. And you mentioned Rex earlier, and I do want to give a shout out to for the Tex and Rex show that will be continuing coverage and talking about Syria tomorrow night, that you can hear them on Blog Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Thursday evening. And I say Thursday 9/12 instead of tomorrow, because many of the folks who will hear this will be hearing it on the archives during the day tomorrow. So tune in to the Tex and Rex show at 10 p.m. Eastern time. There'll be continuing talks about Syria. So tune into that, folks, if you would. And then you'll be able to hear Rex, the person that you were referring to.
I thought he was going to be talking about health care.
Obamacare, and I think you'll be talking about some Syria. Yeah, that's right. Syria will be on Sundays. I think Thursdays is going to be about defunding Obamacare, but they're actually, they are linked. I mean, because as I said earlier, we started out the show with this, is that I really do think that one of the reasons why, the whole Syria debacle was going on is to hide what people are trying to distract people from, their attention from Obamacare and the defunding of it. And so, of course, on both of those topics, I think it'd be good for folks to tune in and listen to the show, about that and to find out, what needs to be done, what you can do in order to continue the fight and not let Syria be the distraction for, getting rid of Obamacare.
Right. Yeah. Well, they have their strategies, and one of their strategies is to just keep us so occupied that you know, we don't know what's going on. And, you know, people are so busy now protesting. Where's all the people for, you know, getting Obamacare defunded? Where's all the people for Benghazi? Where are they all gone? They're all over there working against the Syria thing. So that's their strategy, and we can't let it work. We can't let them be successful.
And real quick, Cindy, I do see that. We do only have about 5 minutes left of the live portion of the show. And so for those who are on the line, they'll be able to stay and listen to the extended version and even chime in if they like to the extended version by pushing one on the number dial or sending me a message through Facebook or Blog Talk Radio's chat for me to get them in. But also listening at 347-945-7428 if you do want to listen to the extended version. But if not, then please just go ahead and check out the archives, which will be available immediately after the show. And also check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. And one of the things I'd like to direct the folks to is the Give page, where I've got there some links to some wonderful organizations that help out both some animals with the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, and then we have organizations such as the Cancer Free Kids, in which for only $10 you can donate a stuffed lion to a child who was recently diagnosed with cancer. And the way to do that is by texting 80100 and then in the body part of the text, put in lion, L-I-O-N, and you'll get some prompts on how you can send a stuffed lion, his name's Courage the Lion, to a child who was recently diagnosed with cancer. So folks, check it out, and you'll see, you know, a couple other wonderful organizations on there as well. So we appreciate that. And also, if you like what you hear tonight, check, and you are a Facebook user, check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk page and just click there and like the page, and you'll be able to get some links and information from there, as well as you're welcome to join the Bard's Logic Political Talk group. And also, of course, talking here tonight, or Chris, check out the Coalition of Freedom as well, which you could just go into your search engine and type Coalition of Freedom in. So we have 2 minutes left, so I'd like to thank everyone who come on to the show tonight, whether you participated in chat or calling in this evening or just listening to the show on the line or over the internet. And we welcome you back to the show tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night, but next Wednesday night, where we are working on having someone who is running for a city council position, because we know that the local politics are important as well. So we'll be looking at having her on. And she's got a tough fight because she's one of the few Republicans, conservatives, which is more important, of course, running in Cincinnati, which currently does not have any really conservatives in the city. And one of the bad things about Cincinnati's facing is it could possibly be the next Detroit. So it's going to be very important, even if it's local politics, wherever it's at, is still very important, because, of course, as folks know, that is where we draw conservatives through and up to the national levels, starting there at city council. So folks, check that out next week at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So there's only a few seconds, 30 seconds, so for the live time. So good night, folks who are just listening to the live portion. Take care. Have a good night. And listen and share the link for the archives. And so we will take the show and bring it into the extended version. Thank you very much for the folks who have stayed on the line listening to this. And so what we'll do is we will bring it over to you, Kelly, and then we will bring it to Dean. And if there's anything you guys want to bring up or discuss, go ahead about our topic tonight. Or I know you were talking about bringing up that form, Kelly, so if you want to talk to us more about that in the extended version, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I've been rather blown away by what I found from the Office of Management and Budget, the OMB form 1-734. It says Presidential War Form. I guess there's eight areas where you got to check the box. So, again, it's the Presidential War Form. Instructions. President to check all boxes that apply, and when he feels like it, give it to Congress. Item number one, nation to attack. Well, little checkbox with a blank. Second nation to attack, box with a checkbox. All right. Number two, the war name. We have a box for war in blank. Next box is operation blank. The third one is war on terror. Note, best option for helping number seven, which is sell the public. All right. Now we go to number three, cause of war. The first checkbox says attack on U.S. soil, like Pearl Harbor. Next one, attack on our allies of treaty. Issue of national security, false flag, because I feel like it. next checkbox, to cover a scandal in the White House. Next checkbox, to pass another Patriot Act /NDAA. Next one, to benefit my campaign donors in the military-industrial complex. To distract while wicked legislation is passed, or the last checkbox is to boost my low ratings. Okay, so we'll go to item number four. Item number four, actions intended, first checkbox, embargo / economic sanctions. Send drones for spying, drone strikes. The next checkbox is send Navy to the nearest body of water. Just a pinprick by a few cruise missiles. Next checkbox, missiles and bombs. There's two more left. Send in all military branches. And the last checkbox is Newcom. All right. Item number five we have here, authorization. Authorization for war. First checkbox, which I really like. Constitutional approval by Congress. The War Powers
Act.
Is
that on there?
It's on form. It's a checkbox.
Wow.
Right.
I thought maybe they would have taken that off. Go ahead.
Yeah. Next checkbox. War Powers Act. Note, only 6 weeks allowed without constitutional congressional consent. Don't need authority from Congress. UN has already given me approval. Who said that? George W. Bush? Okay. Last checkbox. Because I said so. All right. That's for undue authority. Number six, attack date. First checkbox. Can't tell you. It's an issue of national security. All right. When I feel like it. After Congress declares war. I really like that last checkbox. All right. Item number seven, how to sell to the American people. First checkbox is media machine. Tell a bunch of lies. Parentheses. This is interesting. Remember, people will believe a lie if they are if they are afraid. It could be true. Tell the truth. Parentheses. Don't do it unless you really mean it. All right. Just let the media do what it wants. Checkbox following is flowery address to the nation. You know, through a presidential address. All right. Last checkbox is get rhinos and Democratic congressmen to pitch it for you. So that's number seven. There's another one. Oh, if a false. Let's see. Wait, am I getting this right?
Do they have pre-marked boxes in there?
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating. I mean, going to war is very easy. All right, here we go. Last number seven. If a false flag was used to start the war, how to deal with the whistleblowers? This is interesting. First checkbox is have media dismiss those conspiracy theory nuts. Threaten them, blackmail them, threaten their families and their kids. All right. Another checkbox, have them arrested for false accusations regarding child porn viewing and jail them. That's actually what happened to one of the UN inspectors with Iraq number two We didn't find any weapons of mass destruction, and they went after him saying, oh, he's a child porn addict. Anyway, all right. Last checkbox is in the if a false flag was used to start the war, how to deal with the whistleblowers. Last checkbox is just kill them. So there you have it from the Office of Management Budget, making it really simple for a president to go to war.
Well, and that's only, what, a 2-3-page form?
It's about 2 pages. Yeah, not that bad. I mean, you know, take 10 minutes to fill out if you're president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you're hilarious.
it takes more pages to pass a health care bill than it does to get a war, it sounds like.
Well, it's harder to get a building. It's harder to get a building permit than this. But I was a little bit shocked, and I was very silent studying this while I was listening to all you folks. But there's a reason why in the Constitution they gave the power of war to Congress. Because the founding fathers knew brilliantly from history that kings would go to war because they had gas on their stomach. I mean, they knew this. It's like, no. Let's not let the king just go to war. And if the American people wish to voice an opposition to a war, they can write, call, go visit their congressman, whatever it takes, to say, look, do not sign this declaration of war. In the contrary, World War II was a no-brainer slam dunk. Pearl Harbor was attacked. The American people said, let's go get them. People were, even this, World War II, December 1941, people were signing up immediately to go to war with Japan. They were volunteering. The heart of the people was there, and we had it, and there we go. And since then, we've been kind of ignoring and sidestepping a little process with the greatest military the world has ever seen.
Kelly, I got a question. Are you still there?
Yeah, right here.
Go ahead.
Real quick,
Cindy, go ahead. Do the question and Kelly answer, and then want to bring Dean back in. Go ahead, Cindy.
Oh, I can wait till later. Go ahead and bring Dean in.
Okay. There you go, Dean. So how easy did it sound to you to go to war?
I think you could probably do it in about 20 minutes.
Yes, I was just wondering if,
that's
where
the beer summit, that's
where
the
pre-checked.
That's where the beer summit thrown in about halfway through, just for good measure.
A beer summit?
A beer summit.
The beer
You're
summit,
have one of
oh my gosh, yeah, I remember that. We had the beer with that guy.
Preferably with people of different race. You know, that always looks good. It amazes
Again,
me.
To say you're Irish, never mind. That kind of me. But
if it wasn't for alcohol, the Irish would have taken over the world a long time ago. But
that's right.
it amazes me that this gentleman, I'm going to go ahead and use that term loosely, has actually won the Nobel Peace Prize for not things that he did, but for things that he's going to do or planning
right,
on doing.
And then look what he's done.
And look what he's about to do. And I'm going to state the obvious here, so don't scream at me, please. My kids do enough of that. If this were, and I'm not going to say Bush, okay? I'm just going to say if this were a Republican president, Nancy Pelosi, who, if she gets one more facelift, oh my gosh, she's going to have a goatee.
She'd be looking like Michael Jackson.
Oh my gosh.
She kind of looked like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there. She would be, and the rest of them, et al., would be climbing the walls, screaming, and threatening impeachment, and you name it. And as well, I'm not telling you anything that is news to you. So it just amazes me that the Republicans do it as well. Let's be fair about this. The conservatives don't. Your Ted Cruz's of the world and Rand Paul's and Ron Paul's. But look at John McCain. And I mean, I'd rather not, but look at John McCain,
I tell you what,
him and his butt buddy there, what's his name?
Boehner?
Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham Cracker.
Oh, Graham. Oh, okay, Graham Cracker.
Who
Yeah, Bard's Logic After Dark, right?
Yeah. Batman and Robin.
Uncut.
We're not talking about Batman Boehner.
The man, the man's an attorney, and he gets out there, and I mean, this isn't the first buffoon mistake he's made, you know, verbally. I mean, they all make mistakes. I make mistakes every day, but if somebody's an attorney, you don't expect them to say something that is just so, and again, this isn't the first time that that Graham has done this, is so against the Constitution, so against the law, talking about, you know, detainment of American citizens without probable cause or without even, you know, reasonable suspicion, to be honest with you. And he's all for that. And you just kind of shake your head and go, what the hell happened, you know? And McCain, mm-hmm. I mean, you can naturally, anybody can blame that on just old age. And the guy drools on himself, you know? And I get that. They used to make fun of Reagan. Reagan would run circles around McCain.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh, and he probably wouldn't be playing games on, if there were cell phones back then, he probably wouldn't be playing games on a cell phone during a meeting of supposed national security.
He probably would not be doing that. But neither one of those, and they're supposed to be Republicans. Then I know the term rhino and so on and so forth, but they have taken rhino, these two gentlemen in particular, have taken the term rhino to just off the chart levels to new ground, new territory, and I mean it's pretty much granted that neither one of them are going to be bringing the, you know, potato salad to the Mensa picnic. I get that, but
there's
seriously,
now it's the new word is trolls. They are trolls.
I think troll is beyond rhino. You're probably right, ma'am. It just shocks me, and you just. I don't know. You know, I don't eat, live, and, you know, and eat this and dream this stuff. I my kids get on me about it. My son's 18, my daughter's 15. So, you know, I tell them, look, we're going to be prepared for things and so on and so forth. They're coming down the pike, and they've probably heard it from me more than they care to, but it's almost like every day I want to wake up and get onto one of the websites and say, oh, well, what has he done now? You know what I mean? I mean, when Reagan mm-hmm. was in office, you could go to sleep. I mean, even Clinton, for crying out loud, let's be honest. Other than he was getting a little, you know, whatever on the side, you could go to sleep at night with Clinton in the office and go, well, you know, I'm not going to wake up to Helter Skelter in the morning. With this clown, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next. And it's just, I don't know, leaps and bounds. You know, beyond anything, it's uncharted territory. You know, it's uncharted territory.
The reason the reason you could go to bed when Clinton was president and not worry about Helter Skelter being there the next day was because Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House.
Bingo.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Very good point. Let me just throw this one other thing in just very quickly, if I could. Chelsea
sure.
Clinton, I'm sure we all remember her from years gone by, she commented a couple of weeks back that she thought it was time that there was a woman in the White House. And I thought to myself, you know, you're probably unaware of this, Chelsea, but your dad had a whole boatload of women in the White House. You know what I'm saying?
Make a comment. Yeah, we didn't worry about things being helter skelter.
I'm not so sure that's what she was referring to.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what popped into my head. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet now.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to say, well, that's because Bill Clinton was too busy in bed in the White House to be doing anything while we were sleeping.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly and Dean are on it tonight. I mean.
Well, I wanted to throw out why I slept extremely well while Clinton was the president. See, the Congress did actually censor him. You know, the whole Melania. Monica Lewinsky thing.
Mm-hmm.
Congress actually did censor Clinton. What they did is they required that Elena Bobbitt became the intern of Clinton.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
so she could work on her slice.
Oh, man. Yikes.
Hey, wait a Baba. She slices, she dices, she cuts better than down.
Whoa. Remember, guys, still family show here.
So a Romco commercial.
Yeah. All you need is Dennis Miller here on the line, and you've got it sewed up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that man's a genius.
Oh, anyway.
I think we're getting a little slap happy from lack of sleep, all of us here.
We're all tired.
That
you know what?
True.
If you can't laugh at it, my goodness, you won't be able to sleep at night. That's for sure.
Definitely, yeah.
Very
definitely
true.
Have to be able to let loose sometimes. You know, I mean, we're generally pretty serious show here, but sometimes you just gotta you know they say laughter is the best medicine. So
Valium.
Never done that, but never taken Valium, but I try to stay away from any kind of medicine even when I get my migraines. But anyway, on a serious note, is that, you know, folks do get involved, you know, or need to get involved, and, you know, that's why, you know, you can't rely on the mainstream media, but sometimes I even have my doubts in the so-called alternative or conservative media, because there's certainly things that they don't cover, that you'll hear on, you know, shows like this and have these types of discussions. So definitely, folks, you know, for them to share the link for, you know, the show and to get it out to other people so they can listen to it and share it as well. And I think that, you know, this is a whole new venue for people to get involved politically, you know, and, you know, in a way socially too, with people to discuss and try to plan what can we do, to wake the people up and get people involved. I mean, it's so important to get people involved. I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, just want to, you know, take care of their own, as I said earlier this evening, or they're just, you know, too darn tired, you know, from working and things of that nature, but, you know, no rest for the weary, and you know.
Hey, Robert, I just got a text from somebody from Doug LaMalfa's office. Doug LaMalfa is a freshman. Yeah, he's a freshman U.S. congressman from FEMA Region 9, Northern California. Anyway, I got this text. They just censored Obama. They took away his teleprompter.
Yeah, that reminds me of a little debate cartoon someone made up for him. And was, you know, they drew it. It was my idea. They drew it, and it was a debate between Obama and I'm having a brain freeze. Who couldn't debate Obama? Well, I guess I am tired. I guess it is getting late. I can't even think. But anyways, you know, Obama and Romney, there we go. It was the Obama and Romney debate where the cartoon is, you know, it says debate on and a banner on top, and it has a teleprompter in front of Obama for the debate, and behind Romney was Newt Gingrich talking in his ear. I had to give him an answer.
Well, I saw the cartoon once, and we got to get to Cindy's question, but it was hilarious, spoof on the teleprompter thing. There's Obama in a bathroom standing in front of a urinal, and there's a little yellow puddle. And the security guard goes, "Oh, we have a code 7 in the White House restroom." And on the teleprompter above it says, "P, unzip, zip, flush."
Oh my God. Oh man. Oh man.
The security guard says, he goes, "Somebody's messing with the teleprompter again."
Oh man.
That's great. Oh,
wow. Bob. Anyway.
Well, Kelly, I have news for you. I don't remember my question now. What were you talking about just before I said that?
The presidential war form.
War form.
Okay. Yeah, it's the presidential war form. I thought of it last night, and I started laughing just before I fell asleep, and then I just remembered it as we were talking in the show, and I whipped it out and just...
Whoa. Yeah.
That's funny.
I gotta stop. It's
famous. What's up? On pen and paper, yeah.
Oh. Don't you know how to mute your phone?
So I'm gonna post it. No, not a Congressman Wiener thing. I'm gonna post that document. Okay, the presidential war form Facebook page.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, we're looking for funnies now. I got this buddy that, you know, he's just trying to run his business, printing T-shirts and art and stuff, and he's just got three good kids, and he loves his wife. He's just frustrated at the politics. Doesn't do much, he's just beyond frustrated. We talk. And the way the situation, I mean, the guy, he's going to go down crashing. But he goes, "Oh, I wish I was a congressman, Wiener."
Oh, my gosh. Wiener's memorial race is going down the tubes. And so I don't know why he's even thinking about this, but he's thinking, if he's not going to be able to be the mayor, he's actually going to run for president. You think about having Eric Holder be his running mate.
There we go.
What do you think the ticket would be for the Democrats?
Wiener Holder.
The Wiener Holder ticket.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what, Robert? You guys are going to make me wake up my husband.
that was hilarious.
All right. I have something serious to say.
Serious. And folks who are new to listening to Bard's Logic Portal Talk, I must admit, this is a rare occasion of such levity here. Normally, we're actually a pretty serious show, but I don't know what happened tonight. I guess it's 12:23 a.m. here on Eastern Time.
I'll take the
blame. So I think the slap happiness has come aboard, which just happens rarely, but here it is. But go ahead. What's your serious question there, Cindy?
Okay. Well, you know, today was also supposed to be the Million Muslim March. Did you all know that? Because remember,
I did know that.
A bunch of people said you can't, the Million Muslim March was going to be, they just got down on them for calling it that. So they called it something else. I don't know. But anyway, no, it's supposed to be today. Apparently. Doesn't look like, I'm looking at a picture of it, doesn't look like there's even 100 people standing around.
Oh, wow.
unless they're all just kind of back and to the side out of the picture. But Huffington Post said that it didn't look like any more than a few hundred were going to get there. But here's the bikers come roaring into town with as many as 800,000.
Wow.
And so they kind of put these guys to shame. And y'all ought to be going and looking out on the Facebook pages and the web news page. This article here comes from Patriot Action Network, patriotaction.net. You really ought to be putting this all over social media, get the word out what they did, because otherwise I don't think anybody else is going to mention it, and it's just unbelievable. But there's a video here on this one.
the noise alone is deafening. It's so awesome. And just to see these just thousands of riders, I mean, it's just unbelievable how it's so exhilarating and exciting to see this and to know that these guys accomplished something that Obama is probably just dying over this. That's what I love so much about it. Because you know those guys are up there in Washington just, what do we do now? How do we silence a bunch of Harleys? You can't do it. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. There's pictures on over here on this website. I'll say it again, patriotaction.net. And go to the story today about the bikers. There's so many cool pictures and videos in here, you guys. It'll just do your heart good. It'll just do your heart good. Anyway.
And also, speaking of things of that nature, also for folks who haven't checked it out yet, check out the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. And check it out. It's just a huge Twitter team. So for the folks who aren't a part of that already, go ahead and check it out. And, of course, once again, I'll reiterate for folks to go to their cell phones and text in for the number 80100 and then put in the body of the text Lion, L-I-O-N, and follow the prompts. And, of course, there may be some data charges involved. I just want to tell people about that. And you can send a stuffed lion to a child recently diagnosed with cancer. And also, if you don't want to take the chance of doing the, getting the charges from texting it, you can also go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Go to the give page and you will see where there are some links where you can be directed to the site to make those donations for those children. And you'll also see some very worthy other very worthy organizations there on the give page as well. So please check them out. So I do see we're almost at the bottom of the hour, so we could have another almost half hour of extended version. We've had some comedy, some humor here, and, of course, some serious talk. And so if there's anything someone would like to bring up so that people can be informed of just, you know, anything, just let me know. And also for folks who want to look into making a donation to some military groups for some magazines, they can contact me, the host here, by going to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website contact page and just send me a message, and I will give you more information on how you can send some magazine subscriptions to the military. And that will only be available until September the 25th. So once again, you can send me a message via the Bard's Logic Political Talk contact page. So check that out as well. So I wanted to get that out earlier this evening, but, you know, it was great that James was able to bring these folks in on, you know, they're from Oklahoma. For that Benghazi vigil, it was really great for them to bring them on, so they can talk and tell us what's going on over there. And I'm sure there's probably some other such vigils going on around the country. And not that I wanted to put that, we forgot about the Benghazi, and how as they pointed out was a year ago today. This doesn't seem to be a very good date for us here, but we could just try to, you know, make things better by helping folks out.
I wonder if it'll ever get old to those idiots over there, you know, trying to hit us on 9/11 like it means something, you know. I wonder if that'll ever get old to them. I mean, it's like a running gag.
I don't know. These people just aren't in the same type of mindset that rational people are in.
That's right. Absolutely.
They're just not rational.
It'll never get old for them. Having sex with farm animals hasn't gotten old for them over the past several centuries, so why would this, you know?
yeah, unfortunately, that is the truth. They're juvenile. I think they're demon possessed, some of them.
You know, I want to throw something out.
Good.
There is an addiction to power. Mm-hmm. A terrible addiction to power. People get drunk on the wine of the maddening adultery of power, and they will do anything to stay in power. It is unbelievable. My first experience of this was, I was like, gosh, I was a college student back in 88, and I was supporting Pat Robertson. I was president by issue for Pat Robertson, and we just creamed everybody. I had some help and whatever, but we did really, really well, and people just showed up at the caucuses, and I went off to county delegate and then the district delegate, and he was number two. It was a big surprise, but it was my first, oh my gosh, you know, this political thing isn't as far reach as out of my reach as I thought. It's actually closer. Well, anyway, I was in Des Moines with a bunch of signatures from ISU students that wanted Pat Robertson to be the president. And I presented with Pat Robertson on stage. Gosh, there was sticking 20 microphones in front of me. And just real short, you know, yeah, I'm with ISU for president, ISU for Pat Robertson, and we want you to be our president. And the crowd just went absolutely nuts. And it was the weirdest sensation I ever experienced. I was kind of shocked at, like, wow, I got all these people's attention. It did something to me. It was like, whoa. This is scary, but it could be a lot of fun. And one experience when I was in college for, 30 seconds on stage, basically it helped me see, oh, my gosh, there's a potential to get addicted to this power. The powers that be have all the money. I mean, they could start spending tomorrow. They could never outspend their money. But they don't care about money anymore. It's
what
power.
Would that be like?
It's power.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's an addiction of power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's point blank spooky.
Yeah.
So it you know, Wiener is the guy that. Are you serious? I mean, come on. You're gonna get creamed. Okay. You're gonna get toast. Okay. Just to avoid further disgrace. But it's like a drug addict. They gotta have the next fix.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotta have the next fix of power, and he is not gonna win. And he's so addicted to the power. I mean, he's like, come on. I'm 2,000 miles away in California. Like, are you serious? You're going to lose. Why? You're addicted. You're addicted to whatever. It's disgusting. And I had a lady friend that she's going to run for, you know, Judy Spady. You had her on her show, but she's going to run for school board. I'm really glad, you know, because she's a powerhouse and she really loves her kids, loves the community, and loves the Constitution. But she's like, well, I don't know if I want to run. She's like, look, I got to tell you the principle here. Those who don't want to run for political office should. Those who want to run for political office should not. That's the way it is, and you need to run because, well, the corruption is really bad, and I don't want to be part of it. It happens because good people like you don't get involved. That's exactly what they want you to think. It's so corrupted. It's ugly. And they want you to bow out and quit. Of course they do.
Right.
Mr. Smith,
that's
the Washington scenario.
This is why?
Well, and
the
Mr. pointed
Smith
that out. He's like, look, I said, the way it is, I mean, it really keeps good people from wanting to run for office.
Well,
I mean, Newt Gingrich pointed that out.
Yeah. Well, good people are busy doing the right good thing, and the good thing is Well, you take care of your family, you do your job, you be faithful, you go to church, you care about your neighbors. You're, what? Politics? I don't have time because I'm doing all these good things for everybody. And then, you know, Thomas Watt, okay? Or the J.C. Watts. I'm trying to think. He used to be of the Oklahoma Sooners, and my brother was fanatic about the Sooners. Was it J.C. Watts or Thomas Lott? Anyway, one of them.
J.C. Watts was the player.
Congressman?
Is that what the congressman that was the football player.
Okay, so it was J.C. Watts. Okay, so, you know, Oklahoma Sooners, man, they would always just cream us at Iowa State. Anyway, years later, he ran for Congress, and he won. Like, great, wow. Then I heard a story. He's like, well, people keep saying I should run for Congress. So I don't have time. I'm taking care of my family. I'm doing all this stuff. And they said, for that very reason, you should run for Congress. You should run for Congress so you can protect your family's future. And he finally did. And he did some good things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was, you know, he's definitely, you know, I just.
Isn't he still in there?
I'm not sure he's going or not.
You don't hear much about him anymore. Maybe he isn't.
Right, yeah.
He's not in Congress, no.
It was amazing. I'm like, what? I mean, that football player that could, like, you know, Oklahoma had the option, and they were amazing. And I remember J.C. Watts, I think he was a quarterback, he was, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy that I saw on the football field, this guy is a congressman now? Wow. Politics is not that out of reach.
Right.
Yeah, but, man, it's terrible what the families have to go through for when you run.
Yeah.
But, you know,
get prepared to get dragged through the mud.
You don't want to keep, you know, good folks in it. Just let me tell you, as we all, you know, sitting here on the panel know that, you know, we need good folks. We really need to oust these rhinos out, you know, of the party, at least, you know, but nationally, and get them out. And, you know, it's gonna take some good folks who, like you described, Kelly, to run against these guys and get them out. I mean, because I don't think America is going to survive without that happening.
Right.
I really don't. I mean, you've got a handful of, you know, the folks, at least on the national level, who, you know, who are really, in my opinion, looking out for we the people.
Oh, yeah. I want to put a little plug in, if I may.
Of course.
I'm going to be heading to the Libertarian Conference in Sacramento on the 20th of this month, which is a week from Friday. It's going to be pretty exciting. Basically, these people love the Constitution. They're actually quite brilliant. I'm really looking forward to this. And if you're listening from California, just check it out on CaliforniaLibertarianParty.org. Sign up, and you know, some people go for the other half of the name, which is, well, you know, you got libertarian and you got party, but you know, it's going to be a fun time.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my synopsis of the whole political system is, Josh, what was his name? Josh. He said, you know, libertarians are just Republicans who want to get stoned and get laid. Interesting. I told that to a buddy, and he goes, well, the Democrats are stoned all the time. The Republicans, they're stone cold sober. He goes, what? I said, yeah, they're stone cold sober, so they can run their corporations and then conquer the world. Of course, the Democrats want to conquer the world too, but libertarians, really, if I had a choice between the three, it's like, what happens if the libertarians win and they take over the government? Well, they're going to give it back to you, and then they're going to go home and they're going to get stoned and get laid. So they're not bent on world conquest, you know?
Well, there you go. You know, I heard this is an old church, this is about Republicans, that said It said, date a Democrat, marry a Republican. or something like, date a liberal, but marry a conservative. I'll let people
yeah,
ponder
liberal,
on that.
Marry a conservative.
Yeah. People ponder on
folks,
that.
Folks, I'm going to call it a night. And thank you for your time, and I enjoyed this immensely, very much.
Oh, thank you very
much.
I'll be trying
to call back in.
Oh, great. Yeah, it'll be great to hear from you back, and I'm glad you enjoyed some of the levity here. As I said, this doesn't happen a lot. Sometimes we do cut loose, and tonight just happened to have been one of those nights. But it was great having you on the show. Thank you very much for staying as long as you did.
Thanks. Take care, guys.
Share the link where
call
you are. We really appreciate it. Yep. Thank you very much, Dean, for coming on tonight. And hopefully he'll share the link as well as other folks listening to the archives. Of course, maybe to hear a little bit of our funniness, but more so to hear that you didn't just hear us tonight talking here. You also heard people who, you know, boots in the ground, so to speak, but people who are involved. And I'm speaking about the people over in Oklahoma and where, you know, we're just, you know, trying to do what's right. And so we really need to get that out, that there are people out there, you know, doing these things, and we really need to spread it and get those together. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and get ready to end things for the night. So what I'll do is first we'll, of course, give deference to the lady here and have you give your last and parting thoughts for tonight, Cindy. And thank you very much for coming on to the show and being part of our panel tonight. And then we'll move over to you, Kelly, and then I will proceed to close things out. So you have the floor and the mic, Cindy.
Well, I wish I had some really wonderful, wise things to tell people that would just change everything. And I can't go there. I mean, there's too much. There's no one simple answer except for this. You better be ready for what's coming. And for me, that means I have to be full of the Holy Spirit, listening to God all the time, waiting for Him to tell me how I'm going to get through this, and having faith and believing that He's going to be there for me. And that's the only way I can get through it. And I don't, tell you the truth, I don't know how anybody else gets through it unless they have Him. So that's my final word. But thank you for letting me speak on your show, Robert. I appreciate you, and I appreciate Kelly, and I appreciate Dean coming on tonight, and thanks.
Well, it's always great to have you on, Cindy, and I'm sure we'll see you next time. So, Kelly, you've got the floor.
Well, I enjoyed this last overtime. I'm still laughing. You know, this world's a mess. I totally agree with, you know, Cindy, we got a problem, and sometimes government is just damage control. But, you know, humor. We talk with people. People stop by my office, they, you know, I go out and venture out, and I run into somebody, and I love making people laugh. And when I throw something political and I make them laugh, I start to gain an ear. It's a really strange thing. And something we can use to influence for the good. For the good of getting an open ear, and the Constitution is this and that. And, you know, and oh, by the way, I'm very happy about the 19th Amendment.
Yeah.
The 19th Amendment is that no person shall be banned from voting due to sex. And I'm like, I'm really glad, because in my many, many years of involuntary celibacy, I still have the right to vote.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's definitely one way to top off the Large Logic After
Hopefully
Dark.
Hopefully everybody has cut it off by now, right?
Oh yeah, but the archives will be there for all time. That's a good job.
We're going to blackmail you with this.
No, I think he's safe. I think he's safe.
All right, well, good night, folks.
All right, well, thank you very
much,
Kelly, for being part of the panel tonight, as always, and we hope to have you, back on the show next week. And I want to thank everyone who called in tonight, and all those who talked in the show or participated in the chat or just listening in or listening to the archive. And so, yeah, check out the show next week at 10 p.m., Wednesday the 18th. Go to the Bard's Logic Folk Talk website. Check out some things there. If you'd like to find out how to send subscriptions of magazines to the military, some folks in the military, send me a message via the Bard's Logic Political Talk contact page, and I will send you information on how to do that. And also go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk page there on Facebook. Click like, and also there's a Bard's Logic Political Talk group. Folks are welcome to join that as well. And so I will end tonight as I do every night, and that is the song by Aubrey Ashburn, where you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com, and that's AubreyAshburn.com. So take care, everyone. Good night, and looking forward to seeing you again. Take care.
Night.
Good night.